Well, good morning. Turn with me to the household rules. Who remembers where that is? The Apostle Paul didn't call them that, but men like to call them. Colossians 3:18 is where the household rules have begun, and we've been enjoying these, I trust, being helped by them, where it gets right into how we live as families. So it was to these Colossian Christians in the first century, but it's to us and every other Christian today. There are different cultures and different traditions, and different days that people live in, but these truths within the family structure are eternal truths, or how God has prescribed the order of marriage and home and family. You remember that the first area was marriage. Paul gave commands to wives and then to husbands. Very direct, very succinct. To the wife and then to the husband. We've looked at those. And now he comes to the family. And he's going to give commands to children and to parents. I want to say to the children and to the young people today, this sermon is for you. We've met as a church going on 18 years, and there's only been a few times that truly the sermon, the teaching, was for you children, you boys and girls, and you young men and you young women. So today I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to think on these things, and I want you to talk to your parents about them. I want the parents to listen. I want everybody to hear, but I particularly am calling you young people and you children, listen today to what God says from the Bible. What message, who do you listen to? Who do you boys and girls and young men and women listen to? This sermon is for you. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Turn back a few pages to Ephesians 6, which is the companion text. 6 chapter, first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Let me pray. Father, your word is today the truth, forever the truth. All that you've said, all that you've declared is pure and holy and necessary for every part of humanity that has ever lived. Every people, every language, every time period. This is your word. Let the young people, let the boys and girls and the young men and young women, let them hear it. Draw them by your spirit. Let it come with life and authority and clarity and help. Have mercy. Let us all hear it as the word of God. Your proclamations. Come now and speak to us. Shepherd us, O Lamb of God. Amen. Children, who remembers the fifth commandment? Who remembers? Someone, you, one of you young people, tell me what the fifth commandment is. That's exactly right. Honor your father and your mother. And then he goes on and gives a promise. God does when he gave Moses that command to be given and to be declared through the ages. Honor your father and mother. Well, today, kids and young people, we come to verse 20 in Colossians 3. And God commands you to obey your parents. Commandment, the fifth commandment was to honor your father and mother. This command in the book of Colossians says to obey your father and mother. They're saying ultimately the same thing. And that they're teaching you how you're to relate to your parents, how you're to view them. Is it optional? Is it multiple choice where you can pick, oh, okay, I might. No. Children, it's what God has commanded you. All children, all young people, everybody needs to hear this. If I had gone through Dallas yesterday and they were having a big conference down in American Airlines Center and they had some of the top people that speak to children and young people in the world today, a rap singer and what he writes, and a social worker, and a high school coach, and a counselor. And that I brought him. I saw him. I said, six of them. I said, come to our church tomorrow. We'll set six chairs up at the back. Just come and stay. Stay for roughly an hour and listen to what we're going to look at. Because I want you to hear what we, by God's word, says is the message to children. I don't really want to hear what rap singers tell children, because most of them want to pervert them. And I don't want to hear what most coaches have to say to children or young guys, because they're just building their ego, their big, bad image. You get my point. What does God say to the children? What does He say to a young man and a young woman? Well, He says very clearly today what we're going to look at. Children, listen to me before I look in these verses. I want to share with you a sad story that deals with this very theme. Back in the 90s, Mr. Sadowski and myself and some other men would get to go regularly down to Palestine, which is past Corsicana, and you go on down, and you could go down to where the state prisons are. Mr. Rudy Ray, who a few of you met now, he was a chaplain for years. And we would get to go into the prisons, and sometimes Tom and I would get to go once a month. We'd go on a Friday. We'd drive, it's about a two-hour drive, and we'd go in, we'd go through security, and eventually we'd get to go in where the inmates are. And they're all wearing just white uniforms, and there's some that were young, some that were middle-aged, and some that were older, and they were there for years. This was not short-term stuff. But what I want to say to you children that was so sad is oftentimes, as we were with them, some of those inmates would look at us or look at me and say, I wish I had listened to my dad or my mom. They were trying to stop me and speak truth into my life. Tom could tell stories. It's just amazing. They would volunteer it. They would say it. They had wrecked their lives because they did not listen to their dad and their mom. And there they were in jail paying the consequences. It was sad. That's a sad story. I don't want that for anybody here who hears this today or anybody who hears this in the coming days if they listen to this. None of you boys and girls and young men and young women have to go that route. But let me give a happy story. I got to go the other night, late that night, to check on my dad who lives alone. And I got to be with him. And I left. And we had a delightful time. And I left driving home. You know, it's quieter, less cars on the road. And I was just, all of a sudden, I started having a memory after memory of growing up under my dad. And I would think about his care for me and his correction of me. Trust me, he knew how to spank. And his teaching of me and his exhorting me. And he's been a coach and his... all the things that he did in my life, and it was coming upon me, and I was reflecting upon this, and I realized, children and young people, God used all of that in my life. God was the author over it. God corrected and helped and brought me along and gave me new life in His Son because my dad was impacting me along the way. That's a happy story. It made me joyful and grateful to God. We have a happy story and we have a sad story. Children, listen to what God says today. As one of your pastors, one of the men who's to speak to you and shepherd you and warn you and encourage you, I want you children and young people to get this essence out of today. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 16 or 20 or where you are. Be thankful for your parents. Today, have a fresh thanksgiving for your parents. Second, obey them, honor them, and respect them. That's what God tells you to do. And this is where God's blessing is. This is where blessing is. Because God has prescribed it. He has declared that very truth. So let's go to back to the Colossians text. Like these other household rules or these commands to the Christians there in Colossae, Paul said to the wives, Paul said to the husbands, and now he says to children, this one great statement, children, these three words, obey your parents. Let's just stop right there. First part that I want us to get is the command. The command is to obey your parents. It's very, very clear, isn't it? It's not a fuzzy statement. It's not a flowery statement of some poetic way of trying to dance around. What is he really saying? He says, obey. Calls all of you children. Now, I went back, just for interest's sake, I went back and tried to look at all the uses of the word obey, obedience, etc. in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. A lot of them. And I want you children to know that. But there are 11 times in the Bible that obey, for you children and for you young people, to obey your parents is given directly. Between the Old Testament and the New, at least 11 times directly with that word, that particular word. Now you're thinking, what about the book of Proverbs? Exactly. The book of Proverbs says, listen, or go this way, or take heed to what I express to you or teach you as a father speaking. So there's many, many, many more teachings or commands like this that we see in the Bible. But I want you children to realize 11 times directly, it's the most common directive command that God gives to boys and girls and teenagers and young people. It's the most abundant. There's not a close second of what you're being told to do. That's why the coach and the rap singer and the social worker and the counselor, they need to hear this. Because they're chasing all kinds of other things. You could just send them all away and say, hey, I'll tell you what, this week, when you work with young people, tell them to obey their parents. Because that's what the living God has told them. He's told them past, and he tells them today to obey your parents. This is not some little suggestion, boys and girls and young people. This is God declaring it. What God declares is true forever. And it's good. It's good. I mean, it was all I could do to not drive home weeping after being with my dad, because it's good to be under a parent. It's God's ways. It's what he gives. So he says over and over throughout the Bible, children and young people, that you're to obey. Now let me pause and ask maybe a question that would come to your mind. When he says children, who's he addressing? How narrow or how broad is that? And there's going to be differences of how men might view that, writers, historians. But what is he, in the essence of what Paul's saying, what does he mean? He means it's every son and daughter who's in the household and under the covering of the parent. That makes sense? A son that has grown up and gone off to war and is under other authorities is not in the same place anymore under his dad. He has other authorities. But a young person, a 7-year-old, a 14-year-old, yes, a 20-year-old, if they're in their parents' home and they're under his protection and his law, if you want to call it that, his rules, what he dictates is the right pattern for his home, it would apply to any of those. So I might have a teenager stop me and say, hey, I got a driver's license now. That's great. Glad you got that thing. Drive carefully. Your dad's still the boss. You get the point? I had a driver's license. And I had other liberties or certain maturities or things that I'd accomplished. But I was still under my dad. And I was under him in the biblical sense, because I'm under him to listen to him, to obey him. So I want the young people to think about this. Wherever you are right now, you have a parent. Parents, you're under. They're your authority. You are to obey them. So that's the real application here. Now, in the days when Paul was writing, there would have been children, perhaps that were even grandchildren, under their grandfather in that home because of death or because of other circumstances. And it's true today. It would be true of a grandchild in a home that's under a grandparent, or, in this case, a covering of a man and a wife. They are to listen to them. They are to listen to them. The book of Esther. Esther, remember, with Mordecai. Had a different relationship there, but he was a covering for her. He was giving input to her. So this principle has wide application, but I want you to understand, children, what God is saying. Boy, girl, young man, young woman, if you're under your parent, if you're in their household and under their provision and protection, you're to obey them. The principle of honoring of them goes on forever, as long as they live. But this principle of obedience is very clear in the time period of being under them. So it applies to a wide age range. I just get tickled at times when I see 17-year-old high school students motor around in their hotshot truck and their letter jacket, and they think they're their own man. I just, for some reason, it still cracks me up because I guess I was there too, right? But they go back to dad's house and they eat dad's food, and dad pays their electric bill, and dad pays their car insurance or whatever, and on and on and on. You get the point. They're not their own man. They're still under their dad. So the principle here is what we need to understand. It's important. It helps you. It'll ground you. The Greek word for obey means to hear under. So children, think about the word obey. What is Paul saying? What is the Bible saying? To hear under, or to listen attentively. Did you say something to me, Joel? Go ahead and say it again. You're listening. You're paying attention. You're turned towards them, not walking away from them. You're listening to what they say. That's really the first aspect of what Paul is getting here, is that you're paying attention to what's going on to mom and dad. So you're listening to what is coming forth. You know, sometimes people will say, are you with me on this? You hear me? And so for you young people, for you children, learn today again the truth that you need to listen carefully. Pay attention to what dad and mom say. You young men that are becoming older as teenagers or wherever you are, young women, listen to what they say. That's where it starts. You have to hear what they say. You can't obey and walk fully in something unless you understand and listen to what they say. It's a foundational truth. It's such a starting point for your life being on the right path. Listen. Pay attention. Be connected to what's going on. You know, the Bible, particularly the Proverbs, is loaded with this truth, isn't it? Sons and daughters, about listening, paying attention. Proverbs 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear it. Pay attention. What is dad saying? Dad is giving me something. Mom is giving me something. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's longer. Sometimes it's at a really low moment in your life. Sometimes it's an exciting moment. Sometimes it's a dangerous point in your life, meaning you could make a decision that could wreck your life. Listen. It's foundational. It's a part of what dads and moms are to be about, right? I mean, you parents, like me, you're gonna hear things today through your grid of being a dad or mom. Hopefully the truth of God will bolster you in what you're to be to your children. Listen, children, to your father and your mother. Proverbs 4:10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. Hear them. Let them be important to you. Receive my sayings. Let them sink in. It's okay if you just let something that your dad or mom tells you, let it stay in your mind. Let it think on it. This world with all its lies and with all its world flesh and everything else and its music and its entertainment venues, all that has come against you with lies. But dads and moms are speaking truth because they're the ones that love you. They're the ones that really have something to offer because God's put them there. Hear, O my son. Receive my sayings. And I could go through 5, 10, 15 other passages about listening to your dad, heeding what your mom says. So you get what I'm saying, children? You have to listen to them. You have to listen to them. It's hard to even fathom or calculate how much evil would be avoided if children would do just this. Just this. This week, if Mr. Byrd in the city of Fort Worth, where he is a police officer, if the schools mandated and all the teenagers decided we're going to do it for 1 week, okay, Monday through Sunday, we're going to do it. We're going to do what our parents tell us to do. I can promise you Mr. Byrd and his colleagues will have less calls of problems this week. It's a given. It's a given. J.C. Ryle said it. The most dangerous segment of society is young men. Always has been. Rebels. Going to do it their way. Not going to listen to dad. Not going to listen to anybody else. It happens. It's hard to even comprehend if the very first part of this command is heeded by young people. What catastrophes could be avoided? I can take you in this town to at least three gravesides of people I've known, young people that didn't ever get to see the age of 20, not even close. I can think of three. If I probably thought longer, I could take you to some more of them. Because they didn't listen to what they were being told. And so now you go and look at the tombstone and you go, wow, that one was 15. Well, that one was 16. This one had just turned 18. Children and young people, I'm not just talking about random stuff here. I'm talking about real things, real problems, and children who went the wrong way and it cost them their life. Receive their sayings. Listen. So listening is the starting point. I mean, did you hear them? But that's the starting point. But obedience, children obey your parents, is action. You can have a great piece of advice given to you or a directive given to you. If you don't put it into action, it ain't going to work. Nothing's going to happen. You got to do what they say. You could hire a great attorney or a financial planner or somebody who can tell you all kinds of wisdom. You women could go to people that give you great advice. You don't try it, nothing's going to happen. And in the case of parenting to children, if you don't listen and apply or do what they say, then that's not obedience. Just kind of hearing them but not acting upon it is not obedience. Obedience has action. That gentleman I talked about that lives by himself that I spent time with last Thursday night, I can promise you he expected action from me and my brother. And if he was here, he would probably blush, or he would probably chuckle a little bit, and he would realize, yeah, I demanded action. Because that's what obedience is. Obedience is hearing and acting upon it. It's comprehending, and then it's implementing. It's taking it in. So you have to have action. You do what they say. These are not just suggestions. Right? Parents aren't just throwing out an idea, don't do this, do this, go this path. It's not just suggestions, right? Sometimes you give suggestions to friends or people you meet or somebody that's in trying to make a decision. We're not talking about suggestions, children. We're talking about what your parents are speaking to you. God says, listen to them and do it. Do what they say. Hear them and walk in it. God commands this to you. It's not something to argue with them about or debate it or bring up different ideas. It's something to walk in. It's something that you, in your life, put it into the flow of your life. Sometimes it's a short thing that day. Sometimes it's a principle from here on if your parents say, no, we're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. So when your parents give you directives, you're to listen to it and you're to put it into action. You're to obey it. Now, here's a few ways this might happen. Somebody's going to chuckle at this. I don't want you to chuckle at this. The first one, here's how does this happen. That you cheerfully do what you're told. Cheerfully. Not reluctantly, not begrudgingly. Jeff was talking earlier about the murmuring and complaining and whining that went on with Jesus, meaning with the Pharisees against Jesus, never in our great Savior, but murmuring. No. It's not that you go and, okay, I'll do it because I have to or whatever. There's a certain attitude. There's a certain recognition that you're being directed, that you're to walk in that. So it's cheerful. It's immediate. It's not something that you put off or reject. Second, when you hear and you obey, you learn from what your parents are teaching you. In other words, you're adding to your understanding of things in life. You're adding to your disciplines. You're adding to your character development. You're adding to your reliability and your trustworthiness. And on and on and on. Another thing, if you hear and walk in, you turn away from what they warn you about. Proverbs are loaded with that. Loaded with that. Turning away from what they warn you about. I have vivid memories of my dad talking to my brother and I about some things that he warned us about. My first recollection, really, of drinking and drunkenness and danger and death was my dad telling a story about a guy they went to high school with. So you're talking about the 1950s. And that guy got completely wasted and drunk, was in a car, and drove that thing under a big semi, and it took the top half of the car off. Cost him his life. I think he may have had others in the car. I'll never forget that. Drinking's not casual, everybody, for you teenagers and young people and kids. Drinking's not cool. It's just not. Okay? I don't care who's lied to you in the last 2 days or the last 22 months. It's not cool. It's foolish. It's dangerous. It's reckless. And drugs and all the other venue that you're going to be offered out there. None of it's cool. Your parents try to tell you things like, turn away from those kinds of things when you're warned. Another way to hear and obey is to follow after what they tell you to go after. Sometimes dad and mom are not just speaking of what to stay away from. They're telling you what to go after. Those are great things. You need to hear them. You need to implement those. Listen to what dad and mom say and put it into action, whether it's turning away or where you go after something. Oh, children and young people, how your life can be helped. That's the first part of this command, three words, obey your parents. Obviously, it's father and mother. Well, what's the second? How full scope is this? Look back at the text. In all things. Children, obey your parents in all things. The ESV says, in everything. In everything. I'm just letting that sink in for a minute. In all things. God's command makes it clear that a child's obedience extends to all things. Now, let me be the first to say here, Paul would never, and the Bible would never tell a child to follow a father and mother who wants them to do corrupt, immoral, illegal, vile things. That's a given. That is an absolute given. A father that tells his son to go out and buy hard liquor or do something evil, at that point, a child is bound by a higher truth or conscience of what is right and wrong according to God. That makes sense. Y'all understand that. But we're talking about in the principle here of a parent's instruction to children, parents who are giving instruction on daily and weekly basis. He says, God's word says, in all things, in everything. Sons and daughters, you owe allegiance and obedience to your parents in all areas, at all times, and in all subjects. Really? Yes. That's what all things means. Aren't I a great theologian? You get it? When he says everything, does that not everything? Does it not make sense in the English language, children? All things? What's complicated about that? The desire to not do it. That's what's complicated. I'm not saying that when I was growing up, my brother and I, my sister didn't have struggles in all things. That's what God says. That's what he means. We're not talking about parents who are telling you to do evil things and wrong things. We're talking about parents who love you and are speaking into your life and trying to guard you and build you up and warn you and invest in the future and what's ahead and where you are here and now and what's coming. All things, it's big. It's everything. It's truly full scope in your life. So let me enlarge on this for a moment. Your children are obey your parents in things that are good and holy. Good and holy. You're hearing me say that rap music in general, I haven't done an exhaustive research today, is not good. It's garbage. Okay? Just going to leave it at that. We want to talk afterwards. I'll be here for a while. Find me. We'll talk about it. I don't have to do any research. The roots, the foundations of it are corrupt. So it doesn't qualify as good and holy. Children, you are to obey your parents in things that they're teaching you about and putting forth in your life that are good and holy, meaning what the Bible declares that you're to listen to and to be about. What defines what's good and holy? What defines this? Does Miley Cyrus define what's good and holy? No. God does. And your parents are bound to God. They're bound to the truth. And so what's good and holy? Children, listen. Your parents are teaching you what is pure, what is good, and what is holy. I mean, think of all the verses in the Proverbs that speak about, it's first person. He's writing, he says, my son, this is the way of life. Y'all can probably think of some. You probably have many of them committed to your memory. Your parents, your children. Think about it. When dad or mom says to you, this is the way to go, the path of what is good and what's wholesome and holy and what pleases God. You ought to listen to that. Listen to it. You ought to plant it inside you. You ought to meditate on it and walk in it and cherish it. Good and holy. Do you want the way of blessing? You want the way of life and joy and fruitfulness? Then listen to what they teach you about what God's Word speaks. Sometimes dads and moms, it's in such an unforeseen moment, isn't it? You may be doing something, you're doing something around the house, or the men are working with their sons, and you're outside, or wherever. And all of a sudden, the moment presents itself, and you have the opportunity to speak to your children about the path of life. And then you're putting into your children what is good and holy. I said recently to somebody, you know, the Beatles were incredibly talented. For those that are older, incredibly talented. They just didn't have anything good to offer. Not really. It's just the truth. It shouldn't be that complicated for us all to go, that's right. Just take their lyrics. If you have time, just take them, read them all. Where's the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ in them? Paul McCartney doesn't speak about the glory of Jesus Christ. Neither did George Harrison. Is that shocking to you? That's why that's not the songs that we teach our children about. You realize that, boys and girls and young people? Beyonce doesn't have anything to tell you about the glory of Jesus Christ. She's corrupt. She's vile. She needs to come to Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. There are white uniforms being worn today by people who don't listen to what they're being told. Listen. Hear it. Cherish it. Listen to your parents. Another area. Your children, you need to learn to obey your parents in things that are social and cultural. I understand that I'm getting to be the older guy and I'm out of date and I'm not cool. For the record, I was never cool. Okay, that's okay. Krista can tell you that. My grown kids can tell you that. My parents, at least my dad who's still alive, can say, oh, he was never cool. I'm okay with that. I am very much okay with that. Because I think I know what the world means by cool. I'm not worried about that. So when on this topic, on socially and culturally, you need to hear what your parents have to say about the social and cultural surroundings that you're in. They know, children, they know what's out there and what's dangerous. They know where the landmines are and they know where you'll get hurt. Listen to them, sons, you young men. Listen to dad. Listen to what he says. He's been around the block. He's paid the price. He's got the scars to show for it. And by the grace of God, now he sees truth. And he's trying to speak to you about truth. Don't blow it off. You boys and you girls, listen to dad. Listen to mom. The social and cultural day that you're in is always dangerous. Let's not be asleep. The friends that you have, the music that you listen to, the modesty or the view of fashion and the arts and entertainment, downtime, technology. Listen to dad and mom. Cherish what they're saying to you. They understand where the dangers are. I mean, at least when you read through the Proverbs, he just doesn't hold things back. Right? He says, sons, if sinners tell you to come with us, and we're going to go have a good time and do bad things, the writer of the Proverbs says, don't even go with them. Don't even listen to them. Leave them alone. I would finish high school games when I was a junior and senior, and we would finish the game, and I'd be getting dressed and ready to leave the gymnasium, which is however far, a mile from here or something. And some of the buddies would say, come on, go with us tonight. And they'd go out and just get wasted, get drunk, be up most of the night. And I would leave thinking, man, I don't want to go there. I've already told you the story. My dad told me about drinking and the danger and the recklessness of all that. Your parents know these things, children. They're for you. Your parents are for you. They love you. They're responsible to God to teach you the way of life. So listen to them. Another area. You children are to obey your parents in the things of wisdom and experience. I mean, they've been around and they know the evils of the world. Areas of wisdom and experience. Sometimes it can be a business thing, or it could be the decision you're going to make in terms of going down a pathway that it keeps going. Listen to your parents. Sometimes a dad or a mom has to intervene. They have discernment to see that's a dangerous path. Because they understand these things. God's put them there to speak to you. God's charged your mom and dad to speak truth to your children, to command you. Think of the application, you children. When you think about you boys and girls, or you teenagers, you young adults, think about what's ahead in your life and the wisdom that your dad and the wisdom that your mom can give you, the insight. I'm fascinated to hear young men when they're thinking about a career path. Because I think about that. I break it down. You got to break it down. Where is that headed? That's like just saying, I'm going to get on a ship and head out across the sea. Where are you going with that? You're going somewhere. You're training in your education. Your parents should speak into your lives. They're already shaping you and molding you. Listen to them. What they're sharing with you. Your career choices. There's some fields that are just corrupt. They just are. When you go down those paths, it could be dangerous. You could have to compromise. You could face things that could really wreck your life. Decisions of marriage. Do I even need to mention something like that? For you young men and you young women, don't be cavalier about your view of marriage. Your parents are preparing you and training you for what's ahead. Let them speak into your life. For you young girls, if your dad says, you're going to stay away from all those guys, that's it. Subject done. Boy, your dad will save you a lot of misery. Do you want to be the next one that's abused? And treated poorly? Harmed? Hurt? Etc.? No, you don't. So listen to your dad. Listen to your mom. So awesome, the realities of what God is doing for you. What a precious thing. You children, think of it as parents. What a responsibility to train and nurture and correct and warn and say, go this way and turn away from this. It's real. It's active. It's today. It's tonight. It's tomorrow. It's notes. It's calls. It's conversations. It's being doing yard work. It's fixing a fence together. That Jesse and I and Michaela helped us a little bit recently. We were trying to fix a fence. Those are moments to speak the truth. Children, listen to them. And for you that have ambitions for what's ahead for you in your career or perhaps even in ministry, listen to your parents. Two weekends ago, I was away to read the biography on John G. Payton. And he felt a burning, stirring call of the Holy Spirit that he was to give his life as a missionary. He's a young man. And when it became very clear that God was setting him apart for it, it was clear to him, but he still had naysayers around him. He had a lot of naysayers. What did he do? He went to dad and mom. Oh my. If we had time, some pages I could read. He went to his dad and mom. He was already, in a sense, an independent man. He was a young man. He was strong in terms of he was mature and disciplined, and he was a guarded man. But he went to see his parents. What's the point I'm making? Is that in all things, if you view your parents rightly, what will God give you? He'll give you a path of life. So he goes to his parents, and he says to him, he just unloads his heart to him. Let me read to you a couple sentences of what his parents said to him. This is, quote, his parents said, when you were given to us, your father and your mother laid you upon the altar, their firstborn, to be consecrated, if God saw fit, as a missionary of the cross. The parents were a little ahead of him. Getting this? And it has been our constant prayer that you might be prepared, qualified, and led to this very decision. Can you imagine John G. sitting there coming, saying, this is what I feel like God's called me to. And they say, we laid you as a baby before God and asked him to make you a missionary. And we pray with all our heart that the Lord may accept your offering, meaning your life, and that he would long spare you and he would give you many souls from the heathen world for your labor. And to use a quote from John Bunyan, he leaped and went away, leaping with joy. John G. Payton, he said, I never, ever, ever the rest of my days of my life ever doubted that God had set me apart for that. Is that what you young men and women want in your life? That's one man, but it speaks to us. It speaks to you. It speaks to you in a principle in your life. Listen to what your parents say. It can change the entire direction of what's ahead. And in the case of John G. Payton, it was a confirmation that his life within God's plan had already been laid at the altar to be used for thousands of souls in a lost, perishing humanity down in the South Seas. Just staggering. Because he heard his parents as a boy, and he heard them as he was growing and he was a young man. Yes, children, obedience is in all things. Notice the final part of it. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. What's the bigger reality of doing that? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The ESV says, for this pleases the Lord. I don't think John Piper's book has in the chapter on the pleasures of God. I don't think he has a chapter on this one. I didn't go back and look. But I would love to say to Brother John Piper, wouldn't it have been fun to write a chapter on what pleases God about children obeying? He'd probably smile and say, you're right about that. God says, children, think about this. The living God who orders the cosmos and the sea creatures and the breath that we breathe and the beautiful spring and the flowers and the trees right now, all of it ruled by the Almighty. He says to you boys and you girls and you young people, it pleases me when you obey your parents in all things. And that'll preach right there. That's the greater reality. Because your parents will fail you. They do fail you. I understand that. Not everything that dad and mom says is perfect and pure. I understand. But what God rules over in all is perfect and pure. And he says it pleases him. That's what it says. I mean, think of it, mom and dad. Your children obeying doesn't just make you happy and give you pleasure. And it does. You feel that as a parent, don't we? It pleases our great God and Savior. Man. That's why I'm saying to those six people I arbitrarily invited, social worker and the coach and the rap singer and on, the counselor. Can you imagine at this point what they're thinking? God commands them and God is pleased with obedience? Yes. It's what he says. It pleases the Lord. God sees and God responds. He knows. I'll say it another way for you young people. It's not only right to obey your parents, it's the way to have the blessing of God upon your life. You think John G. Payton didn't have the blessing of God on his life? The very thing that he was set apart for and that his parents confirmed it, and he goes to the New Hebrides peoples and he's trying to labor in the gospel and he's being spared day after day, week after week, and even the natives said, you can't touch that guy. He's got the real God. You see, the blessing of God. Sometimes in the day-to-day activities of the home and a family, a child or a young person, young adult, they don't understand the fullness of what's being said here. Well, my dad was speaking truth to my brother, and I'm warning us and commanding us and giving truth. He was speaking of things that would ultimately please God and obeying him and be for my good. Wow. That's what I want you children and young people to be excited about and be reminded about today. Obedience is bigger than just making dad and mom happy. Obedience is submitting to the living God. You want His blessing on you. I mean, young people will often complain. I remember guys I went through high school with. They'll often say something like this: "Man, my parents are a drag." Nathan, don't you say that close to me. Don't, you won't. He won't. But you know what I'm saying? Isn't that a sad thing? "Man, my parents are such a drag. They are useless." No, it's quite the contrary. What they're saying is the antithesis of what God's saying. "My parents don't let me do so and so and so and so." Fine. You go down and go through security, go through the checkpoints, you go in and meet a couple of those prisoners. Let them tell you how it went for them. If you think your parents are a drag, if you think being told what is right and wrong is a drag, then I'll just let you go talk to some other sources. You see? You understand what I'm saying? God is saying your parents aren't there to be against you or hold you back from all the supposed cool things. Your parents are there to protect you and build you up and give you a future and invest in all that's ahead for you. If anybody's for you, it's dad, mom. And then God is pleased by that. You're doing that creates an attitude, a spirit that I want to please God. I want to walk in His ways. Not a drag, a blessing, a deluxe blessing to hear and to respond to your parents. God is saying it. And you go back, that's why Paul in Ephesians, he gives more text, right? In his writing to the Ephesians, he tells the children to obey your parents. And he says that it would be well with you, that your days would be long in the earth, right? That's what, there's promises to it. We could go back and spend some time on the Ephesians text. If it's pleasing to God, does that mean everybody lives a long life? You have to look at the text more closely. It means that your days will be full of the blessing of God, whether you die like David Brainerd did young or whether you live to be an older man like George Mueller. They'll be full of fruitfulness and purpose in the glory of Jesus Christ. Because God is pleased, you're responding to the authority and the truth and the teaching that's coming into your life. Oh, children and young people, let these truths have you today. Let them grip you. Let me close with a few applications on that. How is God pleased? I mean, seeing Nick back there. If Nick tells the boys, when I get home, by the time I get home tomorrow or today, I want this, this, and this done. How is God pleased? We want to make that so, come on, really? Yeah. Because obedience is always pleasing to God. He's commanded His people, right, in obedience. Follow me, walk in my ways, keep my statutes, keep my commands. But how is it pleasing for you children and you young people? Well, first, when you obey, God is reverenced as the ultimate authority that you're under. He is the ultimate authority. He is the true authority that dad and mom are under. And so to obey pleases God because it's an acknowledgement that God is the authority and He gives all other authorities. It's a recognition of His preeminence or His supremacy, superiority, all those words. He's supreme in His ruling and He is over you. Second, parents are respected. When you obey, parents are honored and respected as those that God has put over me. It's an acknowledgement, again, by obeying. It's an acknowledgement that what dad sees in my life and speaks in my life, he's my dad. God put him over me. She's my mom. You'll learn from other people. You'll learn from grandparents and other people. You'll learn from other Christians and pastors. But think of this. You're pleasing God because you're under that authority structure that He's given. He's preeminent. Your parents are the ones that He gave you and your siblings. And therefore, like John G. Payton, one last thing on that. When you stay under their commands and their teachings, you can trust that God's purpose and will in your life will go the path of good. You can trust that God's purpose and His will for your life will take you down the path of good. To use the phrase, it will go well with thee. We don't have time to enlarge upon that. I didn't say you'd necessarily be rich and wealthy and healthy, but it'll go well with thee. Meaning your life, the whole of your life will be shaped in a way that God uses your life, that your life is full of fruitful, positive, good things. Who are you listening to? For you boys, for you young girls, for you young men, you single girls, you different ones. Who are you listening to? Who has your ear? Who has your ear? The rap singer? The social speaker? It's real, isn't it? It's right where you're living. It's right where I am parenting. Who has it? Who are you listening to? Children and young people? Today, are you hearing? Are you beholding right here today how wonderful God's commands and promises are to you? Think how wonderful these are, how precious they are, how good God is. And he gives us the way of life. Children, listen to Him. Listen to your parents. God wants it to go well with thee. Your parents are the voice in your life for years, for big things and small things. Listen to Him. Don't you want it to go well in your life? Children, obey your parents in all things. Heed that, you boys and girls. Listen. Let God keep you in this truth. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you've given the family, that you give children, and that you have a purpose, that you rule in the establishment of the family, a dad and a mom, and sons and daughters, and that you have given such commands and teachings throughout the Bible on the importance, the absolute, undeniable importance that a parent is to teach and train, and a child is to obey and heed what they say. Help these dear ones. I look at these young boys and girls, and I'll just blink, and they'll be adults. I look at some of these young adult women and young adult men. Lord, here they are. Here they stand before you. Give them the truth. Lead them in the paths of life. Let them hear this from you, all of us. Glory to your name. Thank you for teaching us. Amen.